Join me in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Our topic this morning is the dangers of being a professional sermon listener. Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. You will spend 3,700 hours listening to rich theological lectures here at Southern Seminary. You couple that with hundreds upon hundreds of sermons in the context of your local church, chapel, downloads, and podcasts. This is a huge stewardship and a huge blessing and means of grace to our sanctification. However, it can also be downright dangerous to listen to tons of sermons that you never intend to apply to your own life. For you see, it's possible and even tempting to become a professional sermon listener and to forget that listening to sermons was never intended to be a spectator event. It was always intended for our participation. Our struggle in seminary is not access to the Word of God, like previous generations. Our issue is the practice of biblical listening. And by that, I mean both the hearing and the heeding of the Word of God. Sermons that go in one ear and out the other retard our sanctification. It is dangerous for us to procrastinate submitting ourselves to the Word of God because we begin a process of training ourselves to be impervious to the conviction of the Spirit as it's wielded in the Word of God. What starts out as just a little hypocrisy, blowing off the Word of God, becomes a habit. And that habit becomes a pattern. And if not checked, that pattern then becomes a lifestyle of non-listening listeners. If we are filling our minds with robust theology that doesn't translate to the heart, that is dangerous. Delaying our obedience to the Word of God is dangerous. The Bible was not written just for our mere acquisition of knowledge. It was written for the transformation of our lives, to conform us to Christ's likeness. Solomon in our text this morning teaches us that theological academia, void of being pierced to the heart, as expressed in Acts chapter 2, is deadly dangerous. Being fastidious about learning the Scriptures must be accompanied by being fastidious in applying the Word of God to our lives. How do I know? Because much to my shame, I've experienced seasons in my own ministry of being a professional sermon listener. Oh, you would have never known on the outside. I looked spiritual because I was busy. I was fastidious in the context of the local church in learning. I deployed excellence in the architecture of ministry. I rejected mediocrity. I excelled. I was even at times successful. I was doing all the right stuff. I was going through all the right motions. But I was not doing it with a right heart attitude. I was not being led by the Spirit. I was not walking in the Spirit. And again, it was unrecognizable on the outside because of the haste and the busyness that accompanied my life in the context of ministry. And I became, during those seasons a professional sermon listener where I'd go and I'd sit and I'd listen, and I had no intention of having the Word of God soak me and saturate me and conform me to likeness in Jesus Christ. The hard, cold fact is that my sloppy discipline replaced my zeal for the aggressive application of the Word of God. And to my own fault, I then retarded my personal sanctification. Sure signs that sloppy sanctification and sloppy application of God's Word for me is when I begin to point out the splinters in everyone else's eye while I have a huge log in my own eye. And you'll be tempted being around the Word of God and in the Word of God. You will be tempted to become a professional sermon listener. And see, the danger is this. You can't take people where you're not going yourself in the context of ministry in the local church. Light rejected is a serious matter for our consideration this morning. Ever learning, but never applying the truth of Scripture is dangerous. It is hypocrisy. And although not perceived by those around you, it is certainly perceived in heaven. For secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. James writes in a parallel passage to Proverbs 1, 20 to 33, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." If you find yourself unsuspectingly racing towards the precipice of spiritual procrastination with the Word of God this morning, this text is for you. It is for us, and with hope that it would dislodge our apathy when it comes to the application, the heart application of the Word of God. Before there was a James 1, the classic text, there was a Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, 20 to 33 provides for us a biblical audiology and defines for us the inseparable link between hearing and obeying the truth. And when the Scriptures talk of hearing, it is implicit, it is inherent within that, that we apply the Word of God to ourselves. Let's listen to what Solomon wrote to the young sons here in Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delighting themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Why, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish are upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be satisfied with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Much like the refrain in the Gospels found in Luke 8:18, he, Jesus said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is unique. We are going to study and explicate a sermon about wisdom from wisdom. Let me provide you some context as we march towards verses 20 to 33. The author Solomon was the wisest man in his day to ever live. In Proverbs chapter 1 to Proverbs chapter 9, he's writing to his son. This is a tremendous parenting manual. There are 15 specific discourses addressed to young men, to young sons, and are applicable to all people, but in particular to young men. The dominant theme in Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is not an issue or a matter of IQ. It is the spiritual ability to think and live like Christ, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. So wisdom is the ability to have spiritual street smarts. And so Solomon sets out to write here to his sons to help them understand the necessary tools that they have to navigate this world with. And in the beginning in chapter 1, you see right out of the gate, he says, listen, son, you need to learn to fear God. For the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And so from 1:1 to 1:7, he walks them through the necessity as a young man, and in particular here this morning, as young men and women in ministry, we must fear God. Second thing he says is, listen, you need to honor your father and mother. And you see that in verses 8 and 9. The significance of honoring your parents in life. Then he says, choose your friends wisely. Because who you associate with will determine in a lot of ways your character. And so he sets out in 8 through 19 and talks to his sons about choosing your friends wisely. And you can just see the pattern as he walks through the significance of building character in his son. Son, fear God. Honor your mom and dad. Choose your friends wisely. And then we encounter our passage for study this morning, verses 20 to 33, and it is this: obey Scripture immediately. This is his challenge to his son, to obey Scripture. Don't procrastinate your sanctification. You can't wait, son, until you get older. You can't wait, seminary student, until you get to your ministry post. You must follow Christ now. You must learn to obey the Scriptures now. Get wisdom while there is opportunity. Don't metaphorically stick your fingers in your ear when you're being saturated with all of this truth here at the seminary. Being under the truth is not enough. The truth must be in us. It must grip us. It must lay hold of us. And so in this text, wisdom has a sermon. And the thesis is this: if you shun wisdom today, wisdom will shun you. If you shun wisdom today, wisdom, there's coming a day where wisdom will shun you. It is, again, deadly dangerous to postpone obedience and to suppress the conviction of God's word in our lives. And so wisdom here has three urgent, sobering appeals in verses 20 to 33. The first one I call your attention to is found in verses 20 to 23. It is this: wisdom screams to the unteachable. Wisdom screams to the unteachable. You know, Solomon deploys a unique literary device. And what he does is he personifies wisdom as a striking bold, attractive, and very public woman. And so the Word of God itself, the wisdom of God, is speaking about the Word of God and its significance in the life of its followers. This is absolutely a fascinating personification, which is deployed on two other occasions in the book of Proverbs in chapters 1 through chapter 9. Notice here that wisdom makes herself available. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. You see, accessibility is important to Lady Wisdom. She's on the public streets. She makes herself available. She's at the corner of the busiest intersection in the gates of the city. It's a prominent place. It's the perfect time of day. It's the perfect place. There's hustle and bustle and people moving in and out. She understands the principle of access. Location, location, location. And so she positions herself to be heard. She positions herself in the prominent place in the city. Dr. Garrett states, she is a street roamer, a street preacher, if you will, a town crier to the community. Notice her message. It is one of urgency. She is on mission. Wisdom, look at the word, shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. She utters her sayings. She shouts because she wants people to listen. She has a confrontive nature about her. She lifts her voice. She's boisterous. She's rising above the noise of the city. She's not shy. The text says she cries out. She screams out to the unteachable. She must be heard. She's not hidden, unclear, passive. This is not her approach at all, but rather she is prominent, accessible, bold, boisterous, in your face with her wisdom. You would have to intentionally avoid her. You cannot say, "I didn't know." You cannot say, "Nobody told me so." Still true today, is it not? Even a greater accessibility today. We have a much greater opportunity before us. Classes, chapel, podcasts, blogging, books, the canon of Scripture, small groups, retreats, the local church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, events, conferences. You see, wisdom or truth is readily available and screaming for our attention and our allegiance this morning. What is her message? Look at the content of her message. Content is king when we're preaching. Look at it, verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? What is her message? How long? Interrogative. How long will you continue to procrastinate and delay your obedience to the truth that you are exposed to? Listen, to hear and not to obey is to refuse. James 4:17 says, it's not just sloppiness, it's not just laziness, it's actually sin. You see, obedience is what is expected of us. And obedience is doing exactly what God says, when God says it, with a right heart attitude. We see your content. It's an appeal. How long will you engage in spiritual procrastination of the truth that you're exposed to over and over again? Look at verse 22. Lady Wisdom addresses three types of professional sermon listeners. And at this point, it's incumbent upon us to do some self-examination to see if we find ourselves in any one of these three categories. and to be gut honest with the text that is before us. Notice the progression. She states that they begin naive, they move to scoffing, they ultimately become a fool. Why? Because you don't remain neutral in your procrastination. It's a digression. Look at the first category or first type of professional sermon listener. How long, oh naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? First category are the ignorant. The ignorant. They love being simple-minded. This is the primary appeal in the book of Proverbs to the simpleton, to the simple one. This word is interesting in Hebrew. It means an open door. And as you know, a door has two purposes. To let some things in and to keep other things out. This person here, as categorized in verse 22, is open to anything that is available. They're far too open. They are wide open. They believe anything. They examine nothing. They're settled in their immaturity. They're ignorant. They're comfortable with being shallow. They boast of having an open mind. This word here is really a category for the first biblical airhead. They're gullible, weak-willed. They love the simplicity. They love their shallowness. Christian light, church light, sermon light, lecture light. They have no intention of acquiring the knowledge and converting that into life change. It's Jesus in small doses. They don't want the conviction. They don't want the full thrust and the full weight of the Scripture. They are like those found in 2 Timothy 4, craving to have their ears tickled when God has called us to box people's ears. They are the ignorant. The second category you see there are the arrogant. Look at the arrogant there in verse 22. The scoffers, why they delight themselves in scoffing. You see, if you continue to suppress the truth, you eventually become a scoffer. A scoffer is a know-it-all. They are unteachable. What I call cubicle theology. Ever learning in the library, but refusing to allow the text of Scripture to humble your pride and transform your life. They close themselves off from heart instructions. And ultimately, they delight in scoffing. They forget that knowledge puffs up. They love to hear themselves talk. They love to write biting blogs. They love to purport their knowledge. You see, the ignorant are way too open. The scoffers, they're way too closed. Third, the belligerent. The belligerent. And fools hate knowledge. Again, the fool in the text of Proverbs has a moral deficiency. It's not a mental one. It has nothing to do with IQ. Their IQ is intact. They intentionally cut themselves off from wisdom. They've hardened their heart. They're settled in their disobedience. And this is the fruit of apathy. This is that progress, process, that digression. It's a refusal to obey truth, a downright stubbornness. And in all three cases, in all three classifications, Lady Wisdom calls for repentance. Look at verse 23. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour my spirit on you. Turn. Familiar word. To repent. We must repent. Whatever category you find yourself in, we must repent from our unteachability. And she says, if you repent, if you translate head knowledge into heart knowledge and life change, she says, listen to me. I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll equip you. I'll sanctify you. I'll bless you. I'll change your life. Please, for the love of God, don't just hear Heed the Word of God. Apply it to your life. It's really that simple. Repent of the idol of ever learning and not applying the Scriptures to your own life. So wisdom's first point. Second, wisdom indicts the procrastinator. Verses 24 through 31. Wisdom indicts the procrastinator. Verse 24. Because I called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Why do you need to stop delaying your obedience? Why? Because of this section. Because this section in our text is absolutely shocking. We learn from 24 and following that wisdom's patience is long but not unlimited. It's like a shock therapy to the soul who has become sloppy in applying the Word of God. Listen, to reject light or to reject truth is dangerous. There is a serious price to pay. The inevitable consequences, as you're going to see in a moment, they are horrific. This is a sober section in the narrative. It's one of those sections you wish, frankly, just wasn't there. But it is. It's there for us to grapple with. It's there for us to wrestle with. Why do we need to turn? Verse 24. Because I called you and you refused. She reminds us of her many attempts to get our attention. Again, wisdom is speaking here. Truth is speaking here. The Scriptures in whole are speaking here. She says, I called, you refused. You said, no, thank you. Not now. I'm busy. I'm preparing for the gospel ministry. She then gestures, which is very unlikely or very unladylike. She's so passionate. She actually, as people are passing by, she gestures to them. She reaches out to them and grabs hold of them and says, listen, don't throw off this invitation to be sanctified. Don't throw off this invitation to become like Christ. Don't blow wisdom off. Furthermore, she says, verse 25, you neglected all my counsel. You did not want my reproof. You basically were unteachable and are unteachable. I know better. I can do this myself. I can handle this one. You heard but refused, she says, my many advances. Listen, here's what's scary. If you turn your back on wisdom, wisdom will turn her back on you. You will cross a line. Where that line is, I have no idea. I don't think we need to be concerned with the line. I think the intent of the passage for Solomon and his sons and for us is that we will not worry about where that line is, where we cross over, but rather, are we obeying the Scriptures immediately? If you spurn wisdom, wisdom will spurn you. Sounds a lot like Galatians 5:8. You reap what you sow. You see the cause there in verses 24 and 25, but then you notice the effect, and there are four effects or four results from spurning wisdom, from turning your back on truth and not applying the Word of God to your life. Look at them in the text. First, wisdom will laugh. Look at verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. Laugh? Laugh at what? She says, when your dread comes, your calamity comes. Job says, man was and is born in adversity. Adversity is the fact of life. Calamity is coming. And when you need wisdom the most, she will not be available. When the storms come and the difficulties come in ministry and when it rages and when it gets tumultuous, You're searching desperately. You're groping about the Scriptures for wisdom from God. But since you've been ignoring and ignoring, and you built a pattern and a habit of ignoring and being unteachable with the Word of God, nothing comes to mind. Nothing shepherds your soul. You have no wisdom from God. Because you refused, as you were going along in the sanctification process, you refused to deepen your walk with God and be sanctified by the Word of God. And you'll be confused, groping about, needing wisdom. You'll be directionless. You thought there were no consequences for ignoring sermons and ignoring the Word of God. There are huge consequences for shunning wisdom. Wisdom laughs. You know why she laughs? She laughs because you laughed at her. It's a sarcastic laugh because she can't believe you would ignore the Word of God. You would ignore clear, divine truth from God's own mouth Himself for your own wisdom. And what happens is in the calamity, in the crisis, your character is revealed and your knowledge of the Scriptures is revealed. And she is just going to sit back and laugh and think, all the squandered, wasted hours. It's not just hearing, it's heeding. They are inherently inseparable. She laughs. Second, wisdom grows deaf. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish upon you, they will call on me, but I will not answer. I will not answer. Wisdom grows deaf. The storms of life rage. Again, it's not if, folks. It's when. Like a fast moving sudden tornado. This is the picture here. Like a whirlwind, like a tornado coming up in the arid desert and starts whipping and thrusting and ripping through the community. Bam! Life's adversities happen. Out of nowhere, they come upon you. And at that point, you need a biblical clue. You don't have time to search the Scriptures. You don't have time to go home and study and extract out of all your books. You need wisdom from God. And wisdom returns the favor. You ignored her, she ignores you. You gave her the cold shoulder, she gives you the cold shoulder. The heavens are brass. Wisdom goes silent. Look at verses 28 and 29. Third effect, wisdom will hide. When they call on me, I will not answer. They will, look at this, seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Wow. Do you sense the panic in the text? Do you sense the movement in this particular passage? From laughter to quiet to hiding. I mean, there's panic in the text. This person in the passage that wisdom is talking about is frantically looking around for a word from God. And wisdom was nowhere to be found. As a matter of fact, did you notice in the text? Wisdom is actually evading the person searching her out. It's not just passive. She is actively moving away from the person. She's evading her captors. You see, spiritual wisdom will only be known when she chooses to make herself known. This is why the psalmist prays, Lord, open my eyes that I may see your law, that I may understand your law. This is spiritual enterprise. Fourth, wisdom will judge. Look at verses 29 to 31. Because they hated knowledge, because they did not choose the fear of the Lord, because they would not accept my counsel, because they spurned all my reproof, what's the end result? Look at verse 31. Stunning. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. The indictment arrives in the text. Let me tell you, it is a bad habit to procrastinate applying God's word to your life. It's actually spiritual insanity for us here at Southern Seminary to not be zealously, aggressively, boldly applying the Word of God to our own lives. We're never going to take people where we don't go personally. See, wisdom has her limits. She, in this section, loses her patience. And she's got all the right justification. Nobody can bring accusation against wisdom as if it's unfair. She judges. Wisdom has her limits. There will come a time and a place and a day when you will need counsel, you'll need direction, you'll need truth, and it will be nowhere found. It actually will evade you. You hated me when I was available. You threw off the fear of God. You did not want to wear the robe of Christ. You did not want the wisdom of Christ. And you would not listen. You spurned me. You ignored me. You blew me off for other things. You see, you can fake it. I've done it. It's hypocrisy, and much to my shame. But you can fake it during the easy times, when everything's going smooth in life. But what happens when the whirlwind comes out of nowhere? And the calamity and the dread and tumultuous life experiences come out of nowhere. It exposes the hypocrisy. It reveals the shallowness. It reveals the sloppy sanctification discipline in our lives. And there's a serious price to be exacted for not embedding the Scriptures into our ministry DNA. We have to know the Scriptures. And it's not just knowledge, it's life change. I beg you this morning, stop becoming a professional sermon listener. You're going to eat your own devices. You're going to be satiated with your own devices. You minister in the flesh, you get the fruits of ministry in the flesh. And then when trials come at an inappropriate time, at an unexpected moment, at an uncontrollable pace, you'll have nothing. You'll be groping in the Scriptures, wondering why you have so little confidence in God, wondering why you can be so easily blown off course like the wind. Wisdom says she'll turn on you like a rabid dog. Third point in wisdom's sermon. Wisdom exhorts the foolish. Wisdom exhorts the foolish. Like a noble and model preacher, she calls for a decision. Look at verse 32. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools, it will destroy them. But, this is a huge but he who listens to me shall live securely, confidently, and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Listen, once you hear the truth, once the volley's been made, the ball is in your court. The ball's in your court to apply to your life. She leaves us here, as Solomon leaves his son, with a decision. Do we choose to continue in our spiritual procrastination? If we do, verse 32, we receive condemnation on ourselves. We become the unteachable, the procrastinator. We add judgments to ourselves. We'll be accountable to that truth every time we hear the truth, right? We're accountable to that truth. We continue to heap judgment upon ourselves and accountability to the truth we hear. Yet we'll be bound to make foolish decisions with evil consequences. I want you to know it's a lonely place to live. She paints a dark picture. For the waywardness of the naive kills them. They're empty. And the complacency of fools, why, it destroys them. There's condemnation. There's dread. But there's also delight. Look at verse 33 where you see the commendation. But he who listens to me shall live securely. To those who hear and obey, to those who heed and hear, and who are intentional about the application, they will be blessed. It'll be a means of grace. They will be built to handle calamity. They'll have the wisdom necessary. They will know how to respond. They'll have the spiritual instincts because for year after year after year, they've been intentional about pouring the Word of God into their lives. They now think and act like Jesus Christ. Take the example of Job. Job 1. Think of it. At the end of Job 1, he falls to the ground. He tears his robe. He falls to the ground. He shaves his head. And what's the text say? He worshiped. Everything stripped away from his life. He worshiped. That's the way we must think and act when we're saturated and aggressive about applying the Word of God to our lives. For Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Biblical listening means not only hearing, but heeding the opportunity. And a sermon is never over when the preacher says amen. It is then incumbent upon each of us to apply the Word of God and let the Word of God transform our lives. Listen to Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. Don't, I beg you, don't be a professional sermon listener. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now, and we do confess the many occasions that we have sat and listened with no plan to apply. We, as a result, become non-listening listeners. Lord, I ask right now that you would aid us as a community of faith. You would aid us in active, submissive, trembling, and meek reception of your engrafted word. Lord, help us to act for eternity. In your name I pray. Amen.